Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome all of you to Christ Central Presbyterian Church on this third Sunday of Easter, a great day to gather and to worship our great God. I do want to call your attention to the connection card that's in the little chair pocket in front of you and ask if you would fill it out. You can drop it in the offering plate as that comes by later on in the service. And as always, there's a place for you to write down any prayer requests that you may have, excuse me, or as to respond to any of the announcements that are contained in the bulletin. And speaking of announcements, a couple things to highlight this morning. First of all, we have our 2018 church directory that was just published. And if you have not picked up a copy of that already, there are more copies available at the welcome desk outside in the lobby. And then we also are beginning the process of recruiting teachers for our elementary Sunday school class. And so if you are able or interested to fill in for a month or the whole quarter during the summer, you can mark that on your connection card or you can talk to Jamie Dalton. And then also, we're looking forward to our international dinner, which is coming up on May the 12th. We do ask for planning purposes if you would RSVP for that by May the 1st. Again, you can mark that on your connection card and list how many people in your party will be joining you, or you can send an email or a phone call to Sarah Royer. And if you would like to volunteer to help out, to decorate, or even to provide a wonderful dish for that service, you can communicate with Sarah Royer about that as well. And then this morning, we have a candidate for gospel ministry who is able to join us. His name is Willie Arden. He will be preaching for us. And as the chair of our presbytery's candidate for the ministry committee, I've been able to interact quite a bit with Willie and just have been very impressed with him. He is a man who has a very deep understanding of the gospel personally. He has a great passion for the gospel and a love for Christ's church. Right now, he currently has his time split between two different churches as he pursues gospel ministry. He leads the Spanish ministry that is at Redeemer Presbyterian Church in Riverview, and he also heads up the Mercy ministry at Holy Trinity down in South Tampa. And he preaches every week for their homeless ministry and their homeless outreach. And so do make your greeting to Willie after the service. He will need to leave shortly after we are over, as he has to head to Redeemer. But we are privileged to have him here this morning. There's a brief bio in the bulletin about him. And so welcome him as you have opportunity after our service. Also, if you have any electronic devices, we ask that you would turn them off or put them in the mute or vibrate mode so there'll be no distractions to keep us from worshiping our great and wonderful God. So we come to our call to worship this morning. I'd ask if you would stand for our call to worship. This is a responsive reading which comes from Psalm 67. The psalmist writes, "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us." May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Amen. Would you open your hymnals to hymn number 441? Let us glorify the Lord. Father, we come into your presence through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen King. And we are grateful to be here to worship and to exalt you this morning, for you alone are God, and there is no one else. Your power is above all things. Your mercy endures forever. Your kingdom has no end. And so we humbly ask that you would draw near to us this morning, that you would receive our worship, for we approach you through Jesus, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit. You are one God from the very beginning, even now, and as long as time shall last. Amen. Well, following along in your bulletin, Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Be seated. Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 12, the first three verses. And the Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." This is the word of the Lord. We come to a time of confession. I invite you to bow your heads before the Lord as we look to him in prayer. Father, as we call out to you again this morning in prayer, would you give us contrite hearts? I pray that you would help us to confess our sins and seek your renewed mercy. Would you show us, Lord, where we have been selfish or unloving, where we have been uncaring, unhospitable, where we have been self-righteous, where we've been gossips or slanderers. Father, would you show us where we have fallen short of your law and where we have dishonored the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, as we look to Jesus, for his mercy is our only hope, we ask that you would hear us as we silently confess our sins to you. And Father, would you hear us as we all pray together? Almighty God, who does freely pardon all who repent and turn to him, now fulfill in every contrite heart the promise of redeeming grace forgiving all our sins and cleansing us from an evil conscience through the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And here the gospel of Christ, our assurance of the pardon this morning comes from 2 Chronicles 7:14, which states, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verses 9 through 12. And the Apostle John writes, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.' All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" And this is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Would you join me as we look to our Lord in prayer once again? Father, we are grateful again for our Savior, Christ Jesus, who being raised from the dead will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. And therefore, it is in the name of our risen Lord Jesus that we bring to you our requests and our intercessions. Father, we pray for all nations and all peoples of the earth. We pray for those who have positions of authority and who lead. Father, by your common grace and by your providential care, may you lead them to seek justice and truth, and strive to live in peace. Lord, would you bring healing to our broken world? And Father, we also pray for Christ's church as she exists throughout the world. I pray that you would grant unity to her in both witness and service, that you would grant unity to all ministers and elders and deacons and church members. Father, would you continue to build your church? We pray also for the Reverend Joffrey Santiago as he strives by your grace to plant a Portuguese-speaking church right here at Christ Central. We also ask that you would give our elders wisdom as our session pursues planting a Spanish-speaking church embedded within our own church. Father, our desire is to honor and to glorify you. Would you guide our steps? And we also pray for our missionaries this morning. We pray for Rodney and Jana Davila, who serve you in Costa Rica. I pray for Moises Campos, the national pastor in Costa Rica, who pastors the church Icrisen and also mentors many other Costa Rican pastors. Would you give him grace? Be also with his wife, Maribel, with the many health struggles that she has. Father, we also pray for Dave and Paige Hawes, who serve you with the Navigators. Would you bless them? Would you give continued strength and health to Dave's body and bear much fruit through his labors, Lord? We also pray for Don Vanderplug as he serves you with Wycliffe Bible Translators. Be with Andrew Newman, who serves you as our RUF minister at the campus of USF. Be with S.I.E. Etienne as he ministers in the country of Haiti. Be also with the Reverend B. Kirk as he serves you as chaplain at St. Joseph's Hospital. Father, again, would you bless each of these and bear much fruit through them? And Father, with special needs, we pray for many, specifically this morning. We pray for Dave Barden. And Father, we give you thanks and praise for your goodness. Thank you that Dave has been declared cancer-free by his doctors. And we ask that you would continue to keep cancer from his body. We thank you for using the means of the medical treatment he received. Father, we also pray for Glee Hamilton, and that you would bless her and strengthen her body, Lord, as she suffers from a bad cold and is in the hospital, and as she continues to recover from the effects of a stroke. Would you give her grace and strengthen her body, Lord? We pray also for Pat Barden, as she continues to recover from the effects of her recent stroke. And Lord, I pray that you would bless her. Be also with Ron Quick Sr., who struggles with debilitating back pain. I pray that you would bring relief to him. Would you be with doctors as they strive to find the best procedure to help him, Lord? We also pray this morning for Mandy Campbell's father, Mr. William Surrency. We ask that you would give him grace as he struggles with dementia. Would you also be with Mandy's mom, Kathy, as she cares for her husband in the midst of this difficult situation? Father, we also pray for Mr. Bruce Thompson and ask that you would bring health and healing to his body, as this past weekend he was in the hospital with kidney issues. I pray, Lord, even in the city of Dallas this morning where he is, that you would strengthen him and that he would be aware of your presence and loving kindness. We pray also for Marcia Craig and for Ken Jackson. We pray for David Campbell and for Nico Royer. We pray for Servi and Raquel Fernandez, for Bruno Gravanti, and for Alan Dostal. Lord, would you provide strength and health and wisdom to each of these, as well as to many who are unnamed this morning. Father, we also pray for our shut-ins, those who are a part of this church, but for various reasons are unable to come and be among us to worship you. Would you give grace to Lee Zambon, to Mike Colley? We pray also for Peggy Saavedra. And Father, we thank you for our senior pastor, John Keene. Thank you for the sabbatical that he's been able to have over the last number of months. Would you continue to bless him this final week as he prepares to come back next Sunday? I pray, Lord, that you would bring him back to us healthy and rested and refreshed and ready for renewed ministry. Lord, thank you for the grace that you have given to him and to us through him. Father, we pray all these things in the name of Jesus, always remembering that there is salvation in no one else, that there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And so, Father, we close by praying the prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Everything all around.
Our third scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age." The word of the Lord. Well, I invite you to stand as we sing our offertory hymn number 444. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for establishing your kingdom among us through the Lord Jesus. Thank you for writing on our hearts your kingdom values to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you. And therefore, with grateful hearts, we set before you our tithes and our offerings as a token of ourselves, a dedicating ourselves to your service in the world around us. We ask that you would use us as well as these gifts to build your church, to expand your kingdom throughout the whole world. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Would you stand for the singing of the doxology?
How's everybody doing? Hope you can hear me. Thank you so much for the session and Pastor Danny and you guys for allowing me to come here that we might learn from the Word of God. Pastor Danny told me to give a little introduction, so it's not going to be so little, but it's not going to be that long either. So with that being said, let us start. From Genesis 12, 1 and 3, especially verse 3, God's plan of redemption has always been about all nations, about all families. As a matter of fact, he tells Abraham, in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And he says the same thing to Israel in Isaiah 49, 6. We see that the servant of the Lord will not only gather Israel, but is to be a light unto the nation. He said that God's salvation will reach to the ends of the earth. In the Gospels, we see it enforced in the Great Commission. And mind you, it is the Great Commission. But also in 1 Peter 2, 9, we see it again. We see it as a purpose of what God has chosen us for. He says he has chosen us for a purpose. And what is that purpose? Well, for one thing, we are to be a royal priesthood. We are to intercede for all people, for people in our household, for people saved, but also for people who are lost. We are to be a holy nation, set apart to serve him, to do his bidding. But not only that, we are to be his own possession. We don't belong to ourselves anymore, but to him who purchased you, who purchased me, at the unimaginable price of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For what reason? But there's only one reason in this earth for me to exist. And that is that I might proclaim the excellencies of him who called me from darkness unto his marvelous light. This is the reason why we exist, that we might tell other people his mercy, his love, his power, his sovereignty. Why? Because eventually, in Revelation 7, we see a long-awaited vision that should start today, where a great multitude from every nation, from all tribes and peoples, from all languages, will worship, crying out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Yes, to the Lamb who now sits victoriously at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us as we intercede for others. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. I want to bless you. I want to praise you, my Lord, my King, my Redeemer, Lord. I thank you so much for allowing me to come here and speak on your behalf, Lord, that I might praise you, that I might thank you for the things that you have done in my life, that I might exalt your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, for showing me love even when I was an enemy of the cross, of your Son, of you, Lord. I ask you to please with all of my heart, with all of my soul, that you bless these people here, Lord, that you open their hearts and their minds, that they might understand their need for Jesus Christ, Lord. And as they go forth this week, that they might tell their co-workers, their family members, and all people in their neighborhoods, Lord, about Jesus Christ, whom you have set as King. I thank you so much, Lord, for this moment, for this hour, and I hope, I pray that it's a delight to you, Lord. Please bless your word. Please bless your gospel. And I pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is one of the focus points in Scripture. If we miss this, we have missed most of the gospel, if not all of the gospel. The purpose is, why are we here on earth? We are here to give witness to the Lord and his kingdom for what he has done for us, what he is doing in us, and what he will do for us in the future. To better understand this, let us look at the text in Matthew 28, 16 through 20. He says, you see, everything that God does, he does for a purpose and a reason. But a lot of times, most of the times actually, he doesn't let us see this purpose or this reason until we step out in faith. Until we actually go and do what he wants us to do. Until we start trusting him in faith. Until we start understanding that his way is better than my way. That his way will bring him glory and honor. But at the same time, as I trust him, I will be encouraged. You will be encouraged. Your faith will be grown. Your faith will be strengthened. You see, everything that he does is not only to bring himself glory, but to help you grow in Christ, grow in your faith. And so we're told in verse 16 that Jesus had directed his disciples to meet him in a mountain in Galilee. But we say, why Galilee? I mean, you know, when then, why up a mountain? I mean, it's not like today. You know, when I take a trip, I just came from Atlanta yesterday, and it was only an hour drive. This is like 500 miles. I mean, Jesus Christ had been seen in Jerusalem 8 days prior to this, after the resurrection in John 20, 26. And if we think this was a little thing to do, the journey from Jerusalem to Galilee was about a week, maybe a week and a half walking, because they didn't have no cars back then. They didn't have no airplanes. It was about 100 miles. That's a long walk. But why such a long walk and then up a mountain? I mean, if it would have been me, I would have said, Jesus, let's meet at the Jerusalem Inn. They got some good bagels there. I mean, we would try to make it as comfortable as possible. I got my kids and they got to walk with me, but Jesus said, no, you need to walk. You need to walk because you see, when you come to the place where I'm going to meet with you, that you will see my greatness, my power, the resurrection power. Before we get to this, though, some history. Jesus began his ministry as he would end in Galilee of the Gentiles. So he had a purpose for telling them to come to Galilee. In Matthew 4:12, he quotes Isaiah 9:1-2, speaking of Galilee of the Gentiles, focusing on bringing light unto the world. He will bid his disciples and us here to do the same thing. And just like he began his ministry in Galilee, he also ends it in Galilee, on a mountaintop. And the reason being is because from a mountaintop in Galilee, you will see the nations, the Gentile nations were all in the Valley of Galilee. Jerusalem was left behind, 100 miles back there. You know, the old ministry to the house of Israel. You see, when Jesus Christ came, a lady came up to him to help her, and Jesus told her, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But now he was changing. He was actually displaying that the plan that he had come for was being manifested to the disciples. Having completed that mission, he was now sending his disciples to a new mission. You see, just like he left heaven and the throne of heaven to come here to minister to the house of Israel, now he's sending his disciples to minister to the Gentiles. And if we think that was a little thing to do, I can imagine Jesus Christ being sat on the throne of God in Isaiah 6 with all the angels, the seraphim, are going around him, praising him and saying, holy, holy is the Lord. Yes, he was there. And yet leaving all of that to come down here and be a servant to proclaim the good news of the Father. And so now he sends his disciples and he sends you. He sends you. And he's sending them to a place where they probably don't want to go. As we have read scripture before in our studies and everything, you know, Jews didn't really want anything to do with Gentiles, let alone with Judeans or Samaritans. They really didn't want to eat with them and talk with them, anything, but to be around them. They didn't even want to be around the Romans. They called them dogs. But Jesus said, no, I need you to go, just like I came here to you. I bid you to go now and be with them. You see, that's not our nature. We like to be in the most comfortable place as possible. We make everything about us. We only want to be around people that we feel comfortable with, but that's not what Jesus wants. Jesus wants to stretch our faith. Jesus had other plans for us. You see, whenever we allow Jesus, whenever we obey Jesus, whenever we see him for who he is, the triune God, the second person of the Trinity, we understand that whatever he says, it is not only righteous, but it is going to be good for me also. Even if he doesn't feel good at the time. Even if I don't see the goodness in it, it is going to be good. You see, he wants to stretch my faith. He wants to encourage my faith. He wants me to see the power of the resurrection as I go out and talk to people about him. And to glorify the risen Savior by giving witness to him who called me from darkness into light. That's why we come over here every Sunday. To give witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that people may go out into the world and tell other people who Jesus is. He wants us to open our minds to the plans of the kingdom, an all-inclusive kingdom, where all are invited to worship the Lamb. In verse 17, he tells us, and he wants to show them also, but first he needs to show them a side of him not yet grasped by them, and maybe not yet fully grasped by us. And like them, unless we are faithful to follow his orders, we might just miss it. You see, I hear about a lot of people who talk about my faith is not that strong. And maybe it's not that strong because we don't want to step out in faith. We don't want to follow Christ. Because we really don't believe that he's going to go with us, but he tells us that he is going to be with us. He wants our faith to grow. And he wanted them to see. See, if they hadn't walked all the way to Galilee and up that mountain, they would have never seen him in his power, in his resurrection. He wanted them to see that it wasn't just a one thing or two time thing that when he appeared to them in Jerusalem, but this was his glory from now on. That Jesus had power over death. And when we see that Jesus, when they saw that Jesus, all their confusion disappeared and their shattered dreams were just restored. Their sorrow turned into unbelievable joy and their disillusionment into unwavering hope. And of course, what happens when this comes about? They worship. Just like we worship, when we understand who he is and how he is, and where he's at, and the power that he has displayed in our lives, we worship. This is why we come on Sundays. Because we know who he is. And this is why he wanted them to see him resurrected and in glory. Not only he wanted them to see him that way, but he also wanted to tell them that he had the power over death. And yes, some doubted. Like some of us will doubt. Some of us will doubt here. Some of us will doubt in our families. Some of our friends will doubt. There's a lot of people who doubt out there. But see, this is why we're here. We are here so that when these people doubt, when they don't know what to do, when they don't know what to say, we are to walk with them. We are to talk with them. We are to encourage them. And we are to show them the way to Christ. The next thing for them to understand and for us to understand is that now he was telling them that he has authority over all things. They had seen his power over nature. They had seen his power over demons. They had seen his power over sickness. But now, in verse 18, he tells them, before he states the Great Commission, he establishes his divine authority to command it. You see, now he's saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. That means angels. That means kingdoms. That means everything, all creatures are under him, under his will. And it is because of his sovereign power that his followers are to confidently go, but humbly go out and do his will. You see, every time I go, I have to remember that all authority has been given to him. Therefore, I have no fear. Whatever awaits me out there, I know that he is in control of all things. And hence, I can freely speak. I can freely tell them about Jesus Christ and his resurrection. They needed to know that Christ has the authority now over men's minds, over their hearts, over their souls, over any situation in all circumstances. Not only over their lives, but also over the lives of their children, over the lives of their spouses, over all created things. And see, this is why we go out there, because those people out there have no hope. They have no hope. They don't understand why certain things happen and certain things don't happen. They don't know that Christ is sovereign over all things. And this is why we need to go out there to give them that hope. To let them know that there is a ruler on heaven to whom we must give an account. Not only that, you see, as I understand these things, as I understand that he's sovereign, as I understand that he bids me to go, he bids you to go, and he's bidding them to go, he's also letting them know, like he had been telling them for 3 years, rejections will come. But you see, when you understand that they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting his free gift of salvation, then instead of feeling angry, you might feel sorry for them, and you might even pray harder for them. And as we go, if we're not embraced, if we're not embraced by these people that we're talking to, we are to remember that maybe we're just planting a seed. That maybe we're just there to give them a word of encouragement. And we might not even see the fruit, but that's not even the issue. The issue is we need to be there because they need to hear the Lord Jesus Christ. Or maybe we're just watering the plant. I have a friend in Riverview, Florida, and he has an orange grove. And he tells me, you know, that when you plant a tree, you know, it takes a long time before you start seeing the little plant grow. And then you might have to wait about 5 years before you start seeing some fruit. And the first fruit usually is not that good. You have to wait until the next year before you start really reaping what you saw 5 years ago. You see, the problem is that we want results now. But that's not what God, that's not the way he works. The reason we want results now is because we want to say, yes, you know, that guy over there, you know, I got him to church. But God, that's not the way he works. Sometimes he wants us to be there, to live with them, to talk with them, to walk with them, to form a relationship with them, just like Christ formed that relationship with his disciples. And he formed that relationship with you. Maybe it's not just their time. You know how many times I have talked to people and they had totally rejected me and I walked away, and then only to hear maybe 2-3 years later how they now belong to a church and they're praising the Lord. And what can I say? No, it wasn't me. It was the Lord. I might have planted, I might have watered, I don't even know. But I'm happy that the Lord called him. Because that's what we're here for. To tell people about the Lord. And we need to know this. So that I put no confidence on the flesh, but I put all my confidence on the Lord Jesus Christ and on the Word. And the power of his word. He says, all I need to understand is that his word will not come back empty. That it will bring forth fruit, according to Isaiah 55:11. Even if I don't see it. Even if I don't perceive it. Even if I don't know about it, I know that the Lord's word will not come back empty. And that is my hope as I go out and talk to people and let them know about him who called me out of darkness into light, that I may praise him. Because of these truths, we proclaim the gospel. They go out and proclaim the gospel. We go out and proclaim the gospel in a confident and humble way. Not only to proclaim, but also to serve. Verse 19. Why to serve? Because making disciples is not easy. Not easy at all. The problem with evangelism today is that a lot of times we're just happy for them to grasp certain truths and know certain facts, and we think everything is okay, and we want to go our way because we have other things to do. But you see, making disciples takes time. It takes effort. It takes sacrifice. It takes love. The same love that Christ gave you when he called you, he wants you to give it to some others. Making converts is not the same as making disciples. You cannot evangelize apart from serving. You cannot make disciples apart from spending time and efforts in making relationships. You see, we have fallen into the error of expecting miracles apart from cultivating, from seeing things through until the end. Just like that plant, just like the orange grows, my friend, he's in that orange grove every day, watering, pesticides, doing all kinds of things. And so Jesus Christ also calls us to be available for all these people. Even if they don't understand us, even if I don't understand them, I'm to be with them. I was so happy when Pastor Danny told me that you guys had started an ESL program. I was ecstatic. I thank the Lord for that. And for the people who are volunteer, please don't give up. Please don't give up. People need your help. But notice one thing, though. They need your love. They need you to teach them. But not only to teach them how to speak English, because that's secondary. You see, it doesn't matter if they learn how to speak English, but they don't know Christ. This is what we're here for. And all other things are secondary. Teach them the things of Christ. All that you know to observe, to obey, that Christ commanded you to do. Commanded the disciples. That's what he says in verse 20. Teaching them all the things and to obey all my commandments. That they might realize their great need of Christ. And show them by you giving your life over to them that how they should give their life over to Christ. Just like Christ gave his life for you and for them. You see, this is the plan of God for all humanity, especially for the church, for us. That we, like Jesus, and later like the disciples, go into all the nations. And when I say all the nations, I mean everyone who is around you. No matter whether they're tall, dark, and handsome, or short. Whether they speak English or not, we are to show them the love of Christ. We are to talk to them about Christ. We are to tell them about a kingdom that someday will be established here. And where all nations will come to the throne of God. Just like we read in Revelation. In Revelation 7 where it says, after these I looked, and therefore there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, every tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. And they were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to the Lord. See, that's where I want to be someday. That's where I know you guys want to be someday, but we need to start this here. This is what Christ wants us to do, to for us to come as one nation, one human race, and to praise him and to give him glory for all that he has done for all of us. Lastly, in verse 20, we see that God does not tell us to do anything that he himself has not done already. Remember, I was telling you how Jesus left the throne in heaven and came down here, and he didn't come to a big church. He didn't come to a nice hotel. He came as a servant, and he came to die on the cross because of you and me, because of our sins. He gave himself up that we might have life. So God is not asking us to do anything that he himself has not done. Not only that, but he also tells us at the end of this passage that as you go forth, he's not going to let you go by yourself. You see, this is the God that we proclaim. This is the God that calls us from darkness to light. This is the God who, as I go forth, he promises to, he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me that I am his own. This is the one that I want to tell people about. That he will never leave me nor forsake me. Wherever I go, whoever I'm with, he's always going to be with me. And this is the hope that I want to bring to other people. To let them know, as a beggar, who gave me bread? That I might bless him. That I might exalt him. That I might let him know. That I might let everybody know that Jesus Christ is Lord for the glory of the Father. This is the God that we proclaim. The one who is reconciling all things to himself. And he allows us to be part of that reconciliation to all races, to all men, to all households, in all countries, but especially in your community. Maybe that's why Christ Central was put in this place. That ministry back then was left there, and now you're here in a new place that you might seek the people here, whoever they are, that you might show them the love that Christ has shown you. Even if they're unworthy, because I know that I'm not worthy. And if we know these things, we will gladly go, knowing that He goes with us. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank You so much for Your kindness, for Your mercy, for You allowing us to be here, Lord, that we might hear Your word, Lord, that we might hear that You will never leave us nor forsake us, Lord, that wherever You send us, that You will go with us, Lord, that we might go confidently but yet humbly, Lord, to serve people, to let them know about Jesus Christ and Him crucified, but also sitting at the right hand of the Father, victoriously interceding for all of those who put their trust in Him. Thank You so much, Lord. I ask You to please bless the people here, to be with them this week as they go forth, and that they might remember these words, Lord. And I pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Well, I invite you to stand for our closing hymn, and for the sake of time this morning, let us sing together verses 1 and 4 and 6 only. Verses 1, 4, and 6. Let's stand and sing.
We're one foundation, it's Jesus Christ, our
Once again, I want to thank you for worshiping with us this morning and invite you to stay for a time of coffee and conversation in the lobby immediately outside the sanctuary, as well as for Bible study for all ages beginning at 11 a.m. Also at 11 a.m., we have a Portuguese-speaking Bible study led by Joffrey Santiago in room 12. But for now, receive the benediction of our Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. Amen.